Last year when I came, I think we were talking about the end of the pandemic and how people were removing masks and opening their doors and re-inviting people into their homes. And I remember asking you guys to be praying for that, that these doors would be opened and that we would have the opportunity to meet and go deeper in some of the relationships of the people. And that we've, you know, spent years knowing. And it's happening. Recently, Akira and I learned that about 60 years ago, in the house next to ours was a pastor. And this pastor, he had a little church, and he spent a lot of time just praying over the neighborhood. And I have to wonder if my husband is one of those seeds that he planted and grew and became a fruit. And now here we are in one house over, and we're continuing the same thing. It's incredible, the legacy. We've been in Japan for 10 years. We've been walking every single night, pretty much, praying over our neighborhood, praying over our neighbors by name. And it's been a long process. We've gone from just knowing people by name, ohayo gozaimasu, you know, and how are you doing, and those kinds of things. And suddenly, this year, some incredible things are happening. I've been teaching English in small groups and being invited into homes or different places. My English classes have grown from 2 to now 6, and the number of people has more than doubled. And these are in people's homes. And what before was just, oh, Melanie sensei, very polite kind of thing, they're now, Melanie, how are you doing? Something broke. There's a relationship change. And in Japanese, that's huge, because they're very polite on the surface, but to go into the heart, to where they accept you as a friend, is a huge step. And I'm seeing that happen with these people. And so, excuse me, I'm at a point now where before my Japanese was enough mixed with my English to communicate with them. This year, as my son goes off to college, and my youngest daughter is now at junior high, and she doesn't need me as much. It's like, I have time. And I'm like, this is the season. So my prayer request for you guys is, as I go back to Japan, I'm really going to spend a lot of time just focusing on getting the language down, because I'm at a place now with my Japanese friends where English is not enough. English is not enough to really communicate and speak to their hearts. And so I want to speak to their heart language about Jesus. And so please be praying for me over this next year as I really go deep into the language so I can communicate. And in light of that, as these relationships are growing and as these classes are growing, I'm going to begin inviting people to come to an English Bible study. This is the first time I've done this, but I think people are ready for this now. They know I'm a Christian. I've prayed for them. I've shared many, many stories with them. And now there's so much openness. I'm like, this is the time. One of the ladies she's a flute player, and she's, I don't know why or how, but she's doing gospel flute. And I said, really? I said, what kind of songs are you learning? She's like, oh, a song called King Jesus, and another one, Hallelujah. I'm like, that's awesome. And it gets better. There was an African-American gospel singer who's a friend of gospel singers of ours who passed away during COVID time, and his mom wanted to honor him. So she invited all these people in, many people from America and also from Japan, all gospel singers. And this was recently, like a couple weeks ago, to come and just to have like a benefit concert to celebrate his life. And I was invited this gospel friend, the gospel student friend of mine, and she was reading over the list. She's like, oh, I know that name. That's the person's song I'm singing. I was like, no way. Very cool. She wasn't able to go, but she invited two friends that are also in the singing group or playing group, whatever that she's doing. They went, and they were like, it was awesome. So it's just, what's happening here? This is pretty incredible. So I'm just praying that this year, and I'm believing that this year is the year where we're really gonna start seeing some fruit, and we're really gonna start committing ourselves to going deeper on that level. We've broken through the ice. It's taken 10 long years. But when you think about 60 years ago, somebody praying in our neighborhood, those prayers are still coming. Yes. Our 10 years of prayers have been added to that. And we're believing that our area, our neighborhood is fertile. It's ready to go. So yeah, I'm very excited to see what's gonna be happening here over the next year. Just definitely there's some things happening. And Japan is very patient, requires a lot of patience, gentleness, and time. But the time is now. Yes. And that's what I'm believing. Amen. So thank you. So please be praying for Japan.
Amen. Thank you, Melanie.
We can believe for Japan, can't we? Amen. Amen. Well, I don't think it's by accident. I'm trying to find my... Oh, they're behind. I don't think it's by accident that we're doing this series and that we're doing what we're doing today. God seems to have a theme going on. Pastor Steve was talking about holy, being wholly committed to the Lord. And when I was worshiping and just listening to the Lord this morning, I was listening to Jeremy Pearson's, and he was talking about yielding to the Lord and giving him everything. So God's doing something. He's wanting to take us deeper. And we've talked about that in the last couple weeks about he wants us to go deeper. And there's a reason. And when he keeps saying the same message in different ways in your life, that should be an alert sign. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. And if he's telling us to go deeper today, don't wait until tomorrow to start. Does that make sense? We want to start today. And I agree with Melanie. I had an opportunity when I was with YWAM to walk the streets of Japan and pray for Japan. It was the first time that I think I really grabbed hold of what missions was. And not just because I was with YWAM, but it was this awakening to when you are a missionary, you don't just get to go out and harvest. That would be great. But a lot of it is planting seed and tilling the ground. In fact, the group that they handpicked our group because they said we need people to go that aren't expecting to have a harvest right away. If you have one person saved, then you shout and praise because that's not how it happens there. And we actually had a girl who didn't give her life to the Lord then, but it was several months later that sent me a letter and said, I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I finally reached the decision to give my heart to the Lord. And I was like, oh, my word, wow, that's incredible, you know. And so you do have the patience, like she was saying, but I also agree with her. Enough sowing and tending the ground has happened in Japan. It's time for harvest. Amen? And we can believe with you. Let's just do that right now. Father, we just thank you that now is the time for Japan. We thank you, Father, that in Jesus' name, all the seeds that have been sown, all the prayers that have been prayed, all the many missionaries that have served you over the many years, Father, we thank you that that word is breaking forth in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. It's been a wall of people's hearts, but God, just like Melanie was saying, we thank you that the last prayer has been prayed, and that prayer of faith is like a hammer that is hitting the wall, and it's shattering in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for an openness like never before among the Japanese people. And God, I just pray for every pastor, every missionary, missionary, every Christian that's there, to awaken and to realize that now is the time. And I thank you, Father, for giving them the words to say. From the pastor that's been there the longest years to the person who just got saved, you're giving every one of those people the words to say to this amazing wave of people that's coming into your kingdom, God. And we're just going to be able to look back and go, oh my goodness, look at what God has done. I thank you, Father, that those who have been sowers are going to change their tools and they're becoming reapers. I thank you, Father, for giving them the wisdom not just to reap, but to disciple and to be able to help these people to stay in the kingdom. And Lord, we just praise you in advance for this wave of salvations and breakthroughs that's coming over Japan in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Again, our tithing kind of goes right along with this. We started a new series called Never Give Up. And last week we looked at Matthew 19:25, and we learned that all things are possible with God, right? All things. And again, that little word, doesn't matter what language you look it up in, all means all, right? So all things are possible with God. Without him, you might, but probably not. But with him, it's all things. Amen? And this week we're looking at Philippians 3:14. Never give up. Instead, press in, run hard, strain, and pursue. When I was in, I think I was in 8th grade or 9th grade, I remember that our principal of my Christian high school came in and he gave, he was doing our chapel, and he read this verse to us. And it says, I press on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he started talking about the word press. And he said, sometimes we think about that, we just read it, we go, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he said, no, but pressing means you're pressing, you're reaching for something. And I remember that same year, it must have been my freshman year, because we had a track team. No, it was my 8th grade year. We had a track team. We went to this meet, and the fourth girl in a four-girl relay had gotten sick on the way there, and they didn't have anybody else, so they picked me. And I was like, okay. And most of you don't know, or if you know, I don't run. I mean, I run, but I don't run, right? Not in a race, right? And I remember they came to me, and they were like, we need you to do this. And I was like, I haven't practiced. I got to get a baton. I know this is wrong person. They're like, you're it. We don't have anybody else. And I was fighting with it. And instantly in my mind, the Lord took me back to that chapel. And he said, you press toward the mark. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll do it. I was leg one. They figured if I could just get to the girl, they could catch up and win, right? But I remember my legs burning. I had not been running. You have to remember, I had not been running, right? And even though it looks like a short amount of time on a track, as a runner, it's forever. I'm just saying, 100 yards are forever, okay? And my legs were burning, and my chest, it was a cold day, my chest was hurting, and I was like, I'm pressing, I'm pressing, I'm pressing, I'm pressing. I just couldn't wait to give the baton to the next girl, right? And then I'm like sucking in air, right? But I did it. I actually did it, right? And sometimes that's what it feels like when we're walking in faith with our finances, is you want to give up. You want to give up believing. I've been believing this for years and years and years. People might look at you and go, but that's such a short amount of time. But for you, it feels like forever that you've been pressing. But this word press, in other translations, it also says pursue. Run like a runner who wants to win the end of the race. Keep on trying. Follow hard after the mark. Run straight toward the goal. Continue your pursuit. Are you seeing a theme here? Straining toward the goal. There's one more I wanted to read. I sprint toward the goal. Pursue again. pressing on. It's the idea that you're not giving up. Amen? I've seen people in track races that they'll fall and they get right back up and keep running. Why do they do that? Because they're pressing toward the mark. Now, you might be saying, you're talking a lot about track, Shelley, but you have a graduation up there. But that's okay, because it's the same idea, but with education. And sometimes people can look at it and go, well, my finances aren't like this finance, or my finances aren't like his. That's okay. We got lots of analogies. Track is one, but so is learning, right? And how many times, if you were in college, well, actually in high school, and then you go to college, and then master's, and then doctorate, right? At each level, when they hand you that diploma, it's like that guy up there. Oh, yes, I'm done, right? I remember when Lacey finished, she was so excited. It was like, whoo, I don't ever have to go back. But just that excitement of finishing the race. Do people want to quit sometimes? Yes. Because sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes you reach a course or a class that you just, my brain won't go around this. How do I do this, right? Have you ever felt like that about your finances? Lord, I need to make this work, but how do I make it work? You press toward the mark. What is the mark? What is the mark? Living our lives wholly for Jesus. And that's in your finances. That's the mark. You want to get before him and have him say, well done. Well done. That doesn't mean you're going to look like a somebody else's well done. It's your well done. Whatever God has called you to do. If it's a big dream, don't panic. God has the resources for you to reach that big dream. You may think, well, it's not really much. That's okay. He has the finances for the not really much. Whatever it is that God has called you to do, you're the only one that can do that. He has given each of us something inside of us to believe for. And if you're faithful with your tithes, if you're faithful when he tells you to give, if you're faithful and listening to him, and you're pressing in, even when everything inside you is burning and you're like, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to make it. You keep on keeping on. You keep pressing. You keep going forward. Because you know what happens with runners? You get that last kick at the end, whether it's adrenaline or what. They get this last kick and they push through until they cross the line. For those who are going to college, it's like that last semester, you're just like, yeah, it's almost there, I'm almost there, right? You turn that last paper and you're shouting, right? Because you know you have reached the goal. Whatever it is that the Lord has put on your heart for your life financially, never give up. I don't have a job. Never give up. Well, I'm too young. Never give up. I'm too old. Never give up. You keep pressing. You keep straining. You keep pushing toward the mark. How do you do that? That's called faith. That's what faith is. That's the pressing and the straining and the pursuing. It's the thing inside you that keeps you going. Until you finally reach that goal. And like a runner, you throw up your arms, or like someone who's just graduated, woo! When you've accomplished that goal, there is nothing like that feeling in your life. And that's what the Lord is asking us to do today. Never give up on the dreams that he's given you. Say it again. Never give up on the dreams he's given you. He has a plan for our lives, and if we'll be faithful and do our part, he's more than faithful to do his. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank you so much for this word today. We will press toward the mark. Lord, you're really calling us again to a deeper level. You're saying that you want us to wholly be yours. You want us not to be yielded to the enemy, but be yielded to you. And you're calling us to press on, to press in, to continue, to strain forward, Father. That tells me there's something coming, Father, and you want us to be fully ready for what's happening. And God, we don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to worry about tomorrow because you hold tomorrow. But you also give us wisdom in advance to prepare for tomorrow. And God, harvests don't normally come the day we plant. Harvest comes later, tomorrow. And so, Father, I just thank you for every seed that we have sown, God. We just continue to plant in the ground our tithes, knowing, Father, it doesn't matter what tomorrow brings, we will always be taken care of. We will always have our needs met. We will always have more than enough to be blessed, to be a blessing, because we are faithfully doing what you've called us to do today. Help us never to give up on the dreams and the things that you're calling us to do, Lord, but to press forward into you and win that prize. We thank you for anointing every seed that's sown today and bless the sower in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's stretch your hands out toward the giving baskets. Let's make a statement of faith over our giving. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my tithes and offerings. Harvesting angels, I send you out to the north, south, east, and west. I call in my harvest. I receive raises, bonuses, inheritances, increase, the blessing of God manifesting in every area of my life. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And most of all, Father, use our giving to get the gospel preached around the world, that someone else could be saved, delivered, and healed. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Give God a great big shout this morning. Hallelujah. You got the clicker there, Lacey? I've got a couple more slides as we're dismissing the kids. I found a few scriptures. Is it alive? Sort of, okay. You, it's all in, amen. Hey, I found some scriptures to be agreeing about for the church. I saw this, Pastor Terry Copeland Pearson's has been doing this for Eagle Mountain in terms of some things they're doing at their church, and it reminded me there's scriptures that I've been standing on for this church. And so why not tell you about it? Because the Bible says right here, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, how many are in this room, right? And that's not including the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost either, right? So in the Word of God, right? So out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. Deuteronomy 19:15. So I've got two or three verses to share with you that we're going to agree about as we, before we get into this message, right? So, all right, here we go. So Matthew 16:18. Everybody read this together. Let's do what Bill Winston says. Ready, read. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Amen. So we have an architect. His name is Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus is building Redeemed Church. Amen. It helps to have an architect when you're building a building, right? Ready, read. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 2:47. Somebody say, this church is growing. It's growing. It's making an impact in our community. Hallelujah. Ready, read. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Ephesians 4:16. Somebody say there's a place for everybody to serve. In the body, a productive body. people that are ministering to youth, to children, to seniors, to outreach, to worship, to, you know, everything. Somebody say the whole body. Amen. And then finally, one more witness. Ready? Read. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish, Ephesians 5:28. Somebody say, a glorious church. God is raising up a glorious church right here. And there you are. Amen. So somebody say, I agree. Amen. Now look out. Hallelujah. I just thought it was important to share that with you and to say those things and to be in agreement over these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this message and get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. We give you the praise for doing signs and wonders in the United States of America, bringing us back to the foundation of our faith in God as a country, righteous changes in our government, in leadership, from governors to legislatures to prosecuting attorneys to attorney generals to law enforcement to military to president, vice president, House of Representatives, Senate, dog catcher, mayor, everybody. We loosen the light of God to drive out darkness, and that your church would arise and be the church in this nation. We say, kingdom of God come, will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven, in the U.S., in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Well, our foundation text, this is our concluding message of the blessings of liberty. Amen. And that phrase, of course, you know, it's a Bible phrase, our foundation text, Galatians 5:13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Somebody say, I've been called to liberty. And I don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love I serve. Amen. And that's what we're looking for in godly leaders, are people that love God and that are here to serve the people. And ultimately, first of all, serve God, that have a fear of God, that understand they answer to God ultimately. If they don't have that, if the elevator doesn't go to that floor, and I've gotten, and it's really cool because this particular message today is going to be focused on voting. And it's interesting, the timing of it, because in Washington this week, we're voting. Somebody say, I'm voting, whether you're Oregonian or Washingtonian or whatever state. But this is an important election. I mean, every election is important. But this is, I mean, I pulled out my ballot, and just for governor, I've never seen anything like it. It looks like a football roster. Oh my Lord Jesus. Like piranhas, you know? But we need the right person in office. Someone that will be a champion for children. Someone that won't sign laws that make it legal for schools to hide children who are transgender, you know, confused because of people that push that on children and want to basically cover up pedophilia and the abuse of children, make it sound like it's okay and we should be, you know, and that's what's happening. I'm not making this up. That's what's been happening in Washington with our attorney general, some people on our legislature, and the governor. And we prayed in this church, I don't know how many months ago, and we said, in the name of Jesus, we're taking back the governorship. And the next day, he announced he's not running again. Now, that's the power of God working, right? So our prayers are prevailing, but we've also got to be people that show up and vote. Amen? And vote according to the Word of God. I'm not going to go over the review stuff because of the time today. We need to get right to the nuts and bolts of this. You can go back online and re-listen to. There's, I think, 8 other messages that you can hear some of the the first few points there. But biblical citizenship in modern America is the class I've been in for the past several weeks with Rick Green, this workbook, and it's been amazing. Patriot Academy is the name of the website and the course and all that, or the ministry there, Rick Green. And it's a biblical citizenship in modern America. And this particular week, this has been the final class, the final course. I might keep going. There's another one on, I think it's called Constitution Alive or something like that. I'm considering digging deeper. Amen. But this particular chapter, the final class, was entitled Being Salt and Light. Somebody say, I am salt and light. And again, Jesse DePlanis this past week at the convention was talking about how as Christians who are not wholly committed to God are maybe they're salted, but they're not salt. Right? Somebody say, I am the salt of the earth. What does salt do? It preserves things. We're supposed to be preserving the blessings of liberty. Amen. The truth. The love of God in our nation. Preserving the seven mountains of societal influence for God, right? Government, business, religion, family, arts and entertainment, media. Christians need to be people who are out there taking mountains for God. Because we can't just let the devil have it. Amen. Right? Well, I'm a Christian. I should hide from the world. No, you're a Christian. You need to be in the world, but not of the world. And again, I have no greater motivation than the children. When they're destroying children, the church cannot shut up any longer and act like, well, that's politics. No, that's life and death. That's in our wheelhouse. Amen, right? But this topic being salt and light. Now, and again, it's interesting to me, the timing of these messages. I didn't know this was going to end 2 days before a major election that's going to decide who's running for governor, who's going to decide who's running for Senate, who's going to decide who's running for House of Representatives and some other things in the state of Washington. Amen. Glory to God. Federal law stipulates, and these are some of the things that jumped out to me from this particular lesson this past week, focusing again on the voting aspect. Federal law stipulates that every September 17th, public schools are to take time to read and study the Constitution. Do you think that's happening? 90% of public schools do not do it. And it's easy to go, oh, those public schools. But you know what? To be honest with you, I haven't been doing it. I haven't been reading and studying my own U.S. Constitution. So I can't just say, well, that's the public school's job. Amen. Glory to God, right? And he says this, you can be, somebody say, I can be an ambassador for the Constitution in your local school district. And again, I can't advise enough places like Patriot Academy, Wall Builders, David Barton, great places to get in and just spend some time studying and taking in some things. You'll see the biblical roots that are so strong in this nation. Amen. So why do people not vote? Because, well, my vote doesn't matter. Who's ever heard that before, or maybe thought that before? Or this election isn't really all that important. My vote's not going to make a difference. Well, somebody say it does make a difference. If everybody had that same attitude, that's not the right attitude. Amen? So vote. Somebody say, I vote. The first place in the Constitution, a citizen is given responsibility. So see, voting is actually my responsibility. It's part of securing the blessings of liberty, is voting. Because I'll tell you what, I was reading through, they send, you know, the pamphlet with all the people running. There are some nutty people. nutty. I don't know how these people even got their name on the ballot. And some of them say they're one thing, like Republican, for example, and you start reading down the list, and that's not a Republican thing. I mean, woo kind of stuff, right? So we've got to be in the process of weeding them out, right? Not judging the person, but judging what they're saying. And do we want that taught to children? Is that going to help protect children? Is that going to preserve the blessings of liberty? Or is that, because it's amazing, right? You think it can't get nuttier? Oh, it could. Yeah. But not on our watch. Amen. The first place in the Constitution that a citizen is given responsibility is the word chosen in Article 1, Section 2. So what you're doing when you're voting is you're choosing people, the right people. And so there's a little bit of homework involved. One great resource is LifePak. Just search out lifepak.org, I think it is. And they do our homework for us. This is how this person stands on the right to life. This is how this person stands on the LGBTQ, whatever they call it, thing. Or how they stand on borders. And how, you know what I'm saying? And some will say, didn't answer us. That should be a clue. You can go to their own websites. If it's a judge or somebody that says they're nonpartisan, you can go to their website and find out who is supporting them. That'll show you some stuff. And just pray in the Holy Ghost. I heard Pastor George Pearson's talking about actually going in. I remember the days where he actually used to go into the little booth and pull the curtain. And he says he has a prayer meeting in there. And he prays over him. He says the ones he's not sure, he said there was one he wasn't sure about. He started praying in tongues and the Lord told him, vote for this one. I had that happen once with somebody who was running for school board. I had emailed both of them and asked them how their faith made a difference in their leadership, and they both just kind of blew me off, and one guy said, well, we don't know, and the Lord said, vote for that guy, but don't tell him you are. Somebody say, the Lord knows, because sometimes it isn't crystal clear. Hallelujah. Does your vote matter? Somebody say, yes. Now, listen to some of these things. Rick Green, and this is the brother that runs Patriot Academy, and he was on the legislator in the state of Texas for a while, back in the 90s, while President George W. Bush at that time was the governor of Texas, right? And he lost his first race by 20 votes. Over 30,000 people that voted, 20 votes. And then they recounted, and he actually found out he won by 36 votes. Somebody say, your vote matters. And he said he got a call from the governor. He said, and George W. Bush, ha ha, hey, Rick, we're going to start calling you Landslide Green. And little did he know that just a few years later, in the 2000 presidential election, was determined by 537 votes in Florida. Somebody say, my vote counts. My vote, and it's my responsibility to vote. Noah Webster said this, let it be impressed on your mind that God commands you. This is a commandment of God, right? To choose for rulers just men. Somebody say, just men. And just women, too, right? Who will rule in the fear of God. So righteous people. If the citizens neglect their duty, not voting is neglect of my duty, right? And place unprincipled men in office. So here's two ways that we can get unprincipled evil in office. Is vote for them or just simply not vote at all. Right? How many Christians don't vote? Because, well, you know, Jesus coming back, the Antichrist, and you know, this all this bad stuff is just supposed to happen. That is passive, evil, lazy Christianity. Somebody say, I'm all in, right? If the citizens neglect their duty and place unprincipled men in office, the government will soon be corrupted. Sounds like a prophetic word from Noah Webster, right? If our government fails to secure public prosperity and happiness, it must be because the citizens, so see, we can't blame the government for everything. It's the citizens that neglected the divine commands, right? And elect bad men. And again, electing bad people doesn't mean we voted for them. It just might mean I didn't vote at all. Because, well, what's it matter? Oh, it matters, right? Because the citizens neglect the divine commands and elect bad men to make and administer the laws. Noah Webster. Praise God for our founding fathers. Such wisdom. The right to choose our leaders is something most people in the history of the world never got to do. This is a privilege from God. Even today. And then we'll close with a couple of scriptures here. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Now, what people are we talking about? I mean we're talking about the people of God rejoicing. I mean, we know there's scriptures in the Word of God that indicate when Jesus comes back, there are a certain number of people that will mourn at his coming, right? So don't you know, like, if Donald Trump gets elected president again, there will be some people, lots of people will rejoice, and there'll be other people that mourn. Amen. Because not everybody's looking for strong, righteous, godly leadership. But I am. How about you? And here's the thing. We get to choose. We get to choose. And my job as a minister is not to tell you who to vote for. That's between you and God. I can't tell you to vote for Jesus. I can recommend that you do. You should. But I guess what I'm saying is I can't choose for you. Like a bumper sticker I saw the other day that said, when I'm dead, don't let me vote Democrat. Someone's voting for you. But how many know it's not about Democrat, Republican, Independent. It's about being biblical citizens. Amen, right? So Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Oh, man. How many are ready to rejoice? Right? I mean, there's been good things going on. It's so easy to get focused on all the negativity and all that kind of thing, but we got to keep our eyes up. One of the things that Jeremy Pearson's I heard teach this past week, what a great minister of the gospel he is. And he was talking about how he took pilot lessons. His grandfather, Kenneth Copeland, you know, pilot. And he talked him into being a pilot. And Jeremy's thing is he's the kind of guy that will get lost on the highway. So he's like, I won't even go into the time I got lost in the sky. But he was talking about how when you fly, there's this thing called attitude. And attitude is lifting the nose above the horizon when you're taking off. It's called attitude. And his point was, get your nose up. Look up. Somebody say, this nation's going up. Amen. Going up. So I say, going up. Look up. Keep your attitude up. Have a faith-filled attitude. And he talked about how the pressures of the things that are working against the aircraft are gravity, obviously. And the power of thrust gets you above and beyond these you know, laws of gravity. And the other one is this thing called drag. Amen. How many of you are done with the drag? Drag queens. That just seemed to come out at the moment. But, you know, the laws of evil and wickedness that are pulling, trying to keep this country from being who God called it to be. But the thrust and the attitude and the power of God and God's people doing what God's people do will lift this nation higher and higher and higher and higher. Amen. Somebody say, that's where we're going. I mean, isn't when Jesus comes, it says, he doesn't say, look down. No, look up, your redemption draws near, right? Amen. When we go to heaven, we're going up. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm looking up. Hallelujah. And then Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth, as this is one of the scriptures that David Barton used in terms of our voting. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy 30:19, right? Choose, somebody say, choose life. So God is saying, it's right in front of you. And this is the right answer. But he says, I'm not going to choose it for you. You have to choose for yourself. Life or death, up or down, heaven or hell. Amen. I believe I'm in the presence of people that have chosen life. Amen. Are going to be a voice for life. Isn't it interesting that even just the abortion issue is, they call it right to life. And the other side doesn't say right to death. They say pro-choice. Well, right here shows you our Heavenly Father is all about pro-choice. You can choose life or death, heaven or hell. And so many, even Christians, in a lot of cases, just think Jesus is just so nice. He's just so nice. What a nice guy. And can you see someday, when we're all standing before God, and maybe folks that just refused Jesus to surrender their life to him, and they'll see him coming, oh, good, it's Jesus. He's so nice. He's just so nice. Just such a nice, he'll be nice to us. It's Jesus. And what will he say? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Now that's heavy stuff, man. And I heard, I think it was Lance Wallnau or Pastor Hank Kuhneman said, nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. Kindness. You know, the kind thing to do as a believer is love Jesus and do what he says and follow his commandments and vote, you know, righteously. Hallelujah. These are somber times. Amen. And yet we rejoice because we've made the choice. Amen. We know what team we're on, and our team is coming out on top. Hallelujah. And Brother Copeland said this. I've heard him say this a number of times. Your vote is your seed. Amen. So no matter if everything decides to just keep going to hell in a handbasket, I didn't choose that. I didn't choose it. I'm voting righteously. Well, what if they steal every election and just fraud everything or everyone legitimately shows up and votes evil? Not me. I'm not doing it. So I'm going to expect that return in my family, in my life, in my home. It's interesting, you know, again, back to the Olympics, when they did that kind of dark, evil opening with the transvestites reenacting the Lord's Supper. You know, I think it was later that night, there was a complete blackout all through France, all through Paris. There's a picture of it. And the only thing that was lit up, listen to this, the only thing that was lit up on the hill was a church. And Shelley said, because she's been there, she said, I toured that church. And she said, God is in that church. She said, a lot of other churches are just dead and they, you know, like bones and just tradition. But she said, that church is alive. Somebody say, keep shining. No matter what. No matter what. Hallelujah. Let's all stand up on our feet. We got reason to rejoice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just lift your hands and thank Him. So, Father God, we commit our lives to You to be people that vote. Hallelujah. That people that pray. People that are not silent about our faith. People that love God. And even our younger, you know, kids who are not of voting age yet, they speak out on social media. They wear things that point people the right way. They are a voice, and the devil is freaked out. The devil is so terrified because he's thrown his best stuff at the church, at the country, and yet, people are refusing to bow the knee to Him. Hallelujah. And Jesus, we praise You for righteous changes. We cover these elections this week and this year with the blood, the peace of God. Hallelujah. And Lord, as Melanie and Josiah are here too, we also lift up the nation of Japan. We speak Your power and Your plan and godly people and leadership in all the mountains of societal influence, medicine, science, religion, arts and entertainment, media, sports, politics, the family. And thank You, God, that they are voices, that they are voices. Akira in his music ministry, out front telling people about Jesus. Melanie is an author, and she's a teacher. And Josiah and all his gifts for his calling of God in his life to minister to people, to serve, to help, his athletic skills, everything that God has placed in Josiah and in the girls. We speak Your plan and Your purpose and Your blessing on them as a family, O God. Hallelujah. And we thank You, Father God, for the mighty things You're doing. For the mighty things that You're doing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Somebody say amen.